Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McInniff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We give you information and education on senior care topics. My name is Ryan McInniff. I am the host. I'm the owner of Minute Women Home Care, and we are going to get into it today. Now, Janet is not here, for those of you that listen regularly. She's usually my co-host. She is actually out speaking with a family right now. Hopefully, we can get a little bit more business in for the private home care side of things, but that doesn't mean we don't have somebody to join us that's awesome. We have Elizabeth Miller here. Elizabeth, what is going on?
Hey, how are you, Ryan? Doing great.
So for those, to give the intro for Elizabeth here, she is the founder and the community manager for Happy Healthy Caregiver. She has her own podcast as well called the Happy Healthy Caregiver Podcast. It is on the Whole Care Network, Happy Healthy Caregiver Podcast, and go check that out immediately. And she's also a certified caregiver consultant. So we thought that it would be great to start having some guests on the podcast while Janet and I know that we have huge amounts of fans out there, just joking. But we do have some fans out there that enjoy our podcast. I think it's good to bring other people in here and show, you know, put a spotlight on some of the other people that are in this industry that are trying to educate, inform their audiences and expose them to our audience so you can go and check them out. So Elizabeth and I going to have a talk, and the first thing I kind of wanted to ask you, Elizabeth, is what is a certified caregiving consultant? I'm sure there are a lot of family members out there that would be interested in knowing a little bit more about that if they're in a position where they're kind of struggling.
I appreciate that. So it's to become a certified caregiving consultant, you go through a 9-week program, and because many of us are tied up with caregiving or jobs or so forth, most of it is online and over the phone. And you go through a process of learning about the different stages of caregiving and how you can support somebody in the various stages of caregiving, somebody who's, you know, new to caregiving and feeling entrenched with everything is going to be someone that's different than who's been at it maybe a year or two and is looking for more pragmatic tools versus somebody who's at the end of a caregiving stage and even beyond caregiving and trying to, you know, cope with end of life and life after caregiving. So we go through different stages and you learn about those. You also at the same time get tools and instructions about how to build my own personal business and a group to have a soundboard to give ideas and get feedback on that to because we all kind of have our own niches as how we work with caregivers. You know, my focus is mostly on helping a caregiver figure out how to integrate self-care and health and happiness into their own lives while caring for others. But somebody else may focus just on the Medicare aspect or maybe on the actual semantics of how you physically take care of somebody or how you do end of life care and what hospice is like or managing care with a hospital. So there's a lot of variety of different things. And so that group of certified caregiving consultants, you can actually go on caregiving.com and you can find a consultant, you know, either near you or somebody to talk to over the phone who's meets your needs, or maybe you read their bio and something about it strikes you. And so then it's just something I wish I had available to me when I was an entrenched family caregiver. And so that is something that I enjoy doing is now doing consulting to help other people.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it's certainly a good service to have. I mean, sometimes I feel like a uncertified caregiving consultant because people will call us up and be like, "What is home care? What is this? What is that?" And we're trying to explain the whole system to them. Sometimes we do it poorly, but we try to give our best information as we can. But you know, one thing that off recording that we talked about was how often people are completely unaware of what the services are and what benefits people can get. And somebody like a caregiving consultant can help them navigate those waters and maximize any benefits that they should get, or just, you know, basically you're, you know, in a way you're skiing down, you're skiing, and you either can go down a ski run with moguls, or you can go down with freshly, plowed snow, if you will. And going with a caregiving consultant, you're picking the freshly.
Yeah, I love that analogy. I think sometimes, you know, two people just need somebody to talk to. You know, they've exhausted their friends and their family are tired of hearing about it, or maybe they just don't get it and they can't understand it, because until you go through it, nobody can really relate to what that's like of managing the care of another human being and all of the different ailments and things like that. So maybe too, when I don't have expertise, like for instance, I don't have specific expertise of caring for somebody with Alzheimer's, but if that's something that's really important to somebody, or I've got a question from somebody that I need help answering, I have a group of people that I can reach out to help connect that person with somebody. You know, and a lot of us do speaking on the variety of different topics and stuff. So it's a great network, and it also builds confidence for me. You know, going through the program is now I've got the tools to help a caregiver.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's always a good thing. And certainly you're also drawing from your experience, your real life experiences, which we can get into. I mean, not to be too detailed, but you're in the IT industry by day, you're a superwoman by night, providing help for people, doing a podcast, doing a blog, writing articles on this. So how did you get into this? What was your background that made you say, hey, listen, I'm going to,
yeah, initially, you know, when I started getting into it, I was searching for answers. I'm a person who, when I am faced with a problem, I just look for resources that can help me. Hey, somebody's been through here. Somebody knows how to do this. My first go-to was Amazon and going to look for books. And frankly, I didn't even know what terms to search for. And so that's a lot of what I do now, is educate people that they're even called a family caregiver. And once you're called that and you Google for that, then you've got a variety of tools and resources available to you. So that was where I started. And I felt like, you know, a few years back, I had launched this in 2015. And so the year prior was kind of the spiral year for me. I mean, I got into caregiving not overnight, but like a gradual mudslide, if you will, of care, because my parents have had chronic health issues my whole adult life, frankly. And as they progressed in years, the time in between those different crises would come closer and closer together. And they were 6 hours away. They needed help. I'm one of six kids. And we had to just really figure out how to manage this from a distance. And, you know, my parents were willing to only meet us so far. You know, they wanted to stay in their retirement place. And so juggling all of those different responsibilities that you mentioned was tough. It was really tough. And I had a lot of time in the car on my 6-hour drive from Atlanta to Florida back and forth many times in 2014 that I really created this idea of like, I wish this was available for me. Okay, I'm just going to create it and I'm going to share my journey. And I've got to figure out how to do this health and happiness thing while I'm caregiving for others and juggling these things, or I'm going to burn out and I'm going to be in the same chronic health position that my parents are in. So it was kind of an aha moment. And so I would just kind of make notes and stuff as I was going on these boring roads. I started a website and it just kind of built and grew from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be a kicker with having all of that time driving in a vehicle, and you got only one person to keep you company, and that's really yourself with what's going through your head and what's what you're experiencing and wondering. You know, there's got to be other people out there like me that are dealing with this, and then reaching out and your whole network has been successful in seeing how many people are in the same similar situation that you're in. I mean, you do a family caregiver spotlight on your blog, and it seems like you have plenty of people that are lined up for that specific task. I mean, what was that like when you started doing that blog and the podcast and seeing so many people come out of the woodwork, if you will, and hearing all their different stories? And what have you been taking away from hearing so many different
stories?
Yeah,
like you said, there's a variety of how people got there, how long their journey is, you know, what their individual struggles were. But the fact of the matter is like nobody's volunteering essentially to want to do this. You know, the owner of the Whole Care Network, he says nobody puts it on his bucket list. And that's so true. We all just kind of find ourselves in the situation and we wouldn't choose it. And you're trying to figure out how to adapt and cope with it. And so I love spotlighting the different family caregivers on my show. And we've got an upcoming one with Ryan here. So you look for that one. And it's great because I learn so much when I'm talking with other people, and somebody's going to hear that person's story and they're going to resonate with that. So I love the podcast format for that and just giving people a flexible option. I know I was busy. I had a hard time sometimes reading lengthy blog posts and so forth. And so this gives people another option while they're doing housekeeping or running errands or driving to their day jobs to listen to some practical ways to be happier and healthier. And then the writing for me it's just cathartic. I actually am a journalism major and I miss it. I miss writing. And so it's a way for me to just process my thoughts and feelings. And I have no lack of content. I have a whole Trello board is like a tool I use, Trello, of blog topics, because I just think of things all the time. And I just have a lack of time to write about them, but yeah. I've got way, way more content than time.
Yeah, writing does take a long time. I struggle with it. I feel like my mind is going faster than my fingertips. So I go back and I see a lot of typos. And even when I edit it, I still, like a year later, find like, how did I miss that typo? I'm not the best writer, but it certainly is a good way to get your thoughts down. And you know, people like different mediums. People want to listen. People want to watch videos. Mm-hmm. People want to read.
I think the hard part about me when I started blogging is like finding the voice that I wanted to project. So at first, like if you go back and read my earliest blog posts, like they just felt whiny to me, and that's just not who I am. I'm not this whiny person that, oh my gosh, this is a terrible situation. Poor me, you know. I really was like, no, I'm a person who rolls up their sleeves and figures out how to tackle a problem. And I'm going to, you know, try to be transparent in this process and learn more about the lessons I'm learning and the things that are working for me so that people can, so I can pay it forward essentially. And so that was important to me, to have this kind of, you know, girlfriend to guy friend, girlfriend to girlfriend kind of voice. It's like someone just talking to you in your ear and saying, here's what worked for me, but I definitely don't want to should on people. In fact, sometimes I search in my blog posts, I try to remember to search for the word should. And when people guest post for me, I take the word should out because I hate shooting on people because we're doing enough as it is. It's, you know, you don't want to feel like you're never doing enough or make people feel guilty that they need to be doing more.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I kind of felt, and what maybe one of the reasons why I got into the podcasting game a little bit, was when I would reread my posts or my articles, maybe people can take it a different way, kind of like what you were saying. You felt yours sounded whiny or read as whiny, while other people might have thought it didn't read that way. But with podcasting, and what I've liked is, you know, the inflections of a person's voice. You can tell when they're being serious, when they're not being serious, sad, all the different emotions about that. And I think it allows you to convey
authentic,
more real sense to people, much more authentic, thank you. Authentic, I guess I can't speak as well as I can write, but authentic, you know, feel for, you know, your voice, rather than sometimes in writing, maybe that can be taken the wrong way. So yeah, that's something that's the reason I've liked about it. And I thought it's a lot of fun getting to meet different people. So you started this podcast, you started this, it's been successful. You've reached out to a lot of people and you've talked to a lot of people. So With that being said, what do you think about family caregivers? How do you, with the amount of family caregivers that are coming up, you have more and more that are becoming family caregivers. My dad's 70 years old. He's going to continue to age and he might need help one day. With that wave coming, how do you,
I know what I would like to see, you know, because it is a fact that we were going to have more aging community and we're going to need more people to care for people, the volume of people and care for them longer. And at the same time, you know, many people are working and juggling kids as well. Go ahead. Yeah. What I would like to see is, you know, like I said, people don't even know that they are family caregivers. Like there's like 45 million or something of us currently. And when I talk to people, they don't even know that that's what they are. They don't know the resources and the tools that are available for them. And I really put the onus of that on our healthcare system that's very fragmented, right? Like you, but usually what gets caregivers is you're accompanying your care recipient to their doctor's appointments. You are going with them. You're the person sitting in the hospital room in the guest chair and really, you know, want to see the hospitals kind of take note and say, instead of just handing me instructions about wound care, how I can better manage the nutrition for my mom's diabetes or things like that. I would love to see them augment that by also putting in their hands, hey, did you know that you're a family caregiver and these are the resources and tools and the support groups and what's available to you? Because we know this is a really hard job and this is, so I put that onus on one, the healthcare system, and two, I think it would behoove employers to really take some action in that area too. And so, you know, I work at a big company. I've been trying to advocate for doing some lunch and learns and educating people on what resources are available to them here. And that's just me doing, you know, what I can do here locally. But I would love to see people's human resource departments because it let's face it, it impacts your workday just like anything else. And so people need the support. And there are some things like some companies offer employee assistance programs, but a lot of people don't even know about it and what could do it. Like I didn't know that my employee assistance program could have helped me find an assisted living place for my mom, or maybe help find a home healthcare provider and take that work off of me so that I could focus on my day job duties and have somebody else, you know, because they're just doing it over and over again for different people. They can tap into these resources. And so there are some businesses that are like, I know one offhand is called Torchlight, which kind of offers specific caregiving resources for caregivers of aging and caregivers of special needs children. And I just, that's what's important to me is just kind of helping put it right in front of people's faces. And I see those groups as the people who can do that most easily.
So we lost Elizabeth for a second there. That's one of the difficulties of being in different states trying to do these podcasting. But you were just talking about Torchlight, so we'll just pick up from there.
Yeah, so Torchlight is a company that I know is trying to help employers put the tools and resources in their hands so that they can basically offer this program to their employees that would help them with aging parents and with special needs children as well. So, and there might be other companies out there doing something similar, but I love that. And I really do think that these are the two groups, our healthcare system with our doctors and our hospitals, and then the employers to help support caregivers. I'd love to see more of that.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. I don't know how you're going to fix the healthcare system. While I agree that there are plenty of problems there, I don't know. That's way above my pay grade. But with the employers at the very least, and certainly being an employer, you know, we treat you know people when they're having a child with maternity leave, and you know somebody's pregnant. That's a toll on somebody's body. There's a lot of understanding with that, and I think you're going to see similar situations with family caregivers where it's like, hey, listen, how do you want to retain a good employee? Well, maybe for the next year or two, that person needs flexible hours. That person needs to be able to work unorthodox hours that, you know, a lot of companies are used to their, you know, 8-to-5 mentality. Well, things need to change. Like I have family members that have tattoos all over their body. And while I don't think they're offensive, when they were first getting out into the workforce, I was like, well, good luck working for a Fortune 500 company. And lo and behold, she's been working for AT&T for 5-6 years now, whatever it's been, and she's getting rave reviews. And every single time she gets a promotion, it's just like another kind of smile at me, like, "Hey, you thought that I wasn't going to be able to succeed in this?" And it wasn't that I didn't think she would succeed. I just thought that, you know, all those tattoos would cause issues. But when you see so many kids now with so many tattoos, those companies have had to adapt. And I think the same thing, that same adaptation is going to have to occur with family caregivers, because there's one so many of them already, and there's going to be even more in the next 10 years.
Agree.
And it's going to be like, how do you want to keep those good employees? Well, you're going to need to be flexible somehow. You need to keep, you know, hiring and keeping people. So I totally agree. And the friends that I have that are HR managers are like, yep, it's a big concern where, you know, these people are spending a lot of time away from their family and their lives caring for people. I mean, that was one of the things I was going to talk about, because it was on a podcast we did recently where I was kind of blown away. And these numbers are from 2015, so they're probably more updated numbers, but it doesn't really matter because they're so mind-blowing to me, at least, that the average family caregiver is providing 24 hours of paid untime care. And a quarter of family caregivers are providing 40 plus hours of unpaid care to
per
family
week,
members. I mean, that's
right?
A huge amount of per week. Yeah. That's a huge amount of
time. Yeah. For me, you know, it felt like a part-time job, and my mom, you know, lived nearby in assisted living. And I was her, you know, primary caregiver here locally. And that's what it felt like. You know, it was figuring out how to get my hours in. And sometimes it wasn't hours specifically with her, but it might be using my lunch hour to make phone calls or make coordinate plans or get her oxygen or talk to the assisted living place and or shopping for different things that she needed. And so it felt like a part-time job. So that would equate to the hours that you mentioned.
And that's actually a really good point, because it's very easy to think that family caregiver, this is hands-on care, one-on-one care time that you're spending, but it's not. That's an outstanding point that I haven't even thought about. Like, it's not just the one-on-one care; it's all the time you're spending preparing to provide care, for
researching.
Somebody.
You know, driving. It would take a half a day for me to drive my mom to a doctor's appointment because, you know, she was in a wheelchair. She doesn't move as fast as I did. She would get out of breath. You know, the doctor would take more time with her. And then while we had her out, she missed her meal and I'd have to take her to lunch and, you know, enjoyed taking her to lunch too. But at the same time, you know, it was a time away from my office. And, you know, she used to even complain, "Why do we have to go so early in the morning?" I'd say, "Mom, I have a job. I can't be gone all day."
Yeah, absolutely. And it certainly takes its toll, without a doubt, one way or another. Whether it's, there's only 24 hours in the day, so whether it's your work life, your personal life, your family life, whatever it is, something's going to be sacrificed to provide the time to provide care for a loved one. So before we get into the final segment of our show here with our guest, how about we spend a few minutes in talking about you and your podcast. And we kind of briefly went on how you got into it, but for the people that are listening now, when they go into Google or they go into iTunes and they type in, you know, your podcast name, Happy Healthy Caregiver, what should they expect from your podcast so that they can have an idea of what they'll
be getting? It's published weekly. You're going to find over 40 episodes that are going to be all focused primarily around the topic of self-care, particularly for a caregiver. And so you'll sometimes hear from me, you know, and I'll dive deep into a topic. It could be how to do meal prep, or it could be how to creatively integrate, you know, more activity in your day, or how to set boundaries or feel less guilty. So sometimes it's just me sharing my own thoughts and stories. And then about every, you know, three episodes, you'll get like a family caregiver spotlight where I'll have a guest on the show and we walk through, you know, their experiences and share their stories and their tips and so forth. And so that's, you know, what I want people to take away from it is just practical ways that you can integrate your own health and happiness into your life and do so in a way that you know you're doing it without guilt. You're paying your own health first. And what I truly believe in my heart is that when you do that, when you invest in your own health and happiness, you will be a better caregiver, a better sandwich generation parent, a better employee, and you're going to not feel resentful and worn down. And ultimately, I want to prevent you from burning out. And so that's what I want you to get from my podcast. And so then if you want to be on the show, of course, just, you know, reach out to me, Elizabeth@happyhealthycaregiver.com. And we can, you know, that's my only requirement is that you have to have direct care experience in order to be on my show, because I want to hear from people in the trenches, not necessarily people that, you know, consider themselves experts in a certain area without being in the trenches. You can be both, but you have to at least be a caregiver.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And just so people know, if they're thinking about reaching out to you, you know, I did your show, and you mentioned that earlier, but I was a caregiver for 4 months. That wasn't a very long time. I mean, you were a caregiver for a year or two or multiple years. I guess my point that I'm trying to make is that everybody's experience is unique. And once you get into that scenario where you're a family caregiver, I can't relate to somebody that's been a family caregiver for 5 years, but there are some people that maybe have been a family caregiver that couldn't relate to the stress that I went through in 4 months with my mom actively basically dying in a short period of time. They're different scenarios. So I think if for the people that might be out there thinking, hey, maybe I should shoot an email, you know, everybody's experience is different, and sharing that experience is going to resonate with somebody out there because somebody's in the same similar situation that you might be in, whether you've been doing it for a long period of time,
exactly,
or a rather shorter period of time,
yes,
or somewhere in the middle. So, and then you're also on the Whole Care Network. And could you kind of give a
The founder of the Whole Care Network, Chris McClellan, and basically he had this vision of pulling together all of these different types of podcasters into one network. And so you will see, I was part of the wholecarenetwork.com. You'll go out and you'll see my caregiving show, but you'll see other shows focused on caregiving or just sharing stories and health and wellness in general and senior topics. So you'll find a variety of different types of shows. And I invite you to go check that out because you may not like the content or the messages, or maybe you want to, you know, indulge on many podcasts on the topic because that's how you learn. And so there's a variety out there to meet your needs.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, somebody might be listening to me and want to learn about more of the, we focus more on the senior care industry, you know, the solutions, whether that's private home care, assisted living, nursing homes, but that's not everything. I mean, that's only a certain segment of it. And there's plenty of other segments to learn about. I know there's somebody over there that does kind of legal advice, or I shouldn't say legal advice, but gets more into the legal side of things. Well, that's a whole important a niche in this industry that I don't know much about, and maybe you don't know much about, but it's an important topic to know about if you're in that situation. So certainly I would suggest checking that out and seeing what's there to offer. So I think it's a good website. It's a good resource, and it's worthwhile spending 10 or 15 minutes, you know, seeing what's over there. So with that being said, we're going to wrap this up. We're going to wrap this up with four basic questions, or our basic four. So the first basic four question is, what is your favorite book on the subject of seniors? If you had to give one,
well,
book
the first book I read
there,
sticks out to me. And I think because it's the first, it is the Dutiful Daughter's Guide to Caregiving. And I've since formed a friendship with the author Judith Henry, and so I would recommend that one with a funny thing. And then if I could recommend another one, Jodi Hempel does Life the Next Phase, and her book is a very pragmatic, like if you're in a particular phase of caregiving, it's more of a resource where you can just dive in and go right there.
Awesome. Well, there's a twofer right there. So with number two, is there a resource out there or one resource, or if you want to list two, you can, that you would recommend families to check out? Where would that start be?
One of the first ones I found was caregiving.com. Denise Brown has been in this industry for over 20 years, and she does a national caregiving conference in Chicago that I'm excited to go to in November. That's where, you know, you can take the certified caregiving consultant training or find a consultant. And there's people can sign up to do their own blog. Maybe you don't want to start your own website, but you want to try this writing thing out. So there's a lot there. It's going to be more than a 10 or 15, minute thing, but I would check it out and maybe check it out more than once, just so you know what's available there.
Awesome. Yeah. Caregiving.com and Denise Brown, I'm aware of them, and she's got a monster site over there. And I mean that in a good way, with a ton of resources. So number three, I don't phrase this as best as I can. As you can tell, I don't always speak well or speak good. See, there you go. What would set apart a successful family versus a non-successful family when it deals with of being a family caregiver? And what I mean by that is, some people, they don't make it out kind of alive, quote unquote. Like, you can tell that it took a toll on them, and maybe they're kind of forever changed by the experience that they've had, versus, it sounds like you were a family caregiver, but you took a difficult situation and made something positive out of it with your podcast, your website, your articles, and things like that. What do you think separates those successful families,
I think it's just
family caregivers from others?
Really, maybe aren't tenacity successful, and figuring out what works and what doesn't, and being willing to try new things and communicate. There were lots of tears throughout this process with my siblings and my husband and my kids. And, I think for us, what worked is, and I share about this a little bit on the podcast, is my kids have become more independent. They had to be, there was no choice. And so setting up some of those systems for them, they've been doing their laundry since middle school, which is amazing. And, for my husband, like, we had to really have some communication about dividing up family responsibilities and who was going to own what, so that I didn't even have to think about some topics, that I just knew he had it covered, and vice versa. Because he was also a primary caregiver for his mom at the same time that I was. So we had to communicate. And I think what kept us sane, our family of four, is that we had a digital family Google calendar, because that was like our Bible. We put everything in there, including even me time type stuff. When I planned on working out, when I planned on going to Starbucks to work on my blog and have that time for myself, and when he was going to do his thing, so that we made sure that people got where they needed to be. And, we were also with our care recipients too. So the scheduling part of it really, really helped us, become a well-oiled machine here on that.
That was like seven different tips there. So that was outstanding. I think that Google Calendar probably makes a lot of sense nowadays in age with so many moving parts. That sounds like a really great tip. So the final one, number four, just to get to know you a little bit better. What's a hobby that keeps you going? What do you enjoy doing outside of the IT industry and the blogging?
We love to travel as a family.
What's something that you enjoy?
We've been doing memorable trips instead of like big gifts at holidays the past few years. My kids are teenagers. They don't really need anything. And so part of the fun for me is like shopping for the good deal on travelzoo.com. I love to get their Wednesday top 20 deals and think about where we might go next. So I'm actually actively shopping for something right now to do over the holidays with our family, because we just really connect and we enjoy traveling. And I, I'm trying to put my finger on why I love it so much. And I think it's just because it really heightens all the senses, your five senses. And, you know, I love looking forward to it. I love doing it. And I love then coming back and capturing it through like a little movie with some songs and stuff. So that's my big hobby that I, you know, the means to the end of doing work and really having that great family time together.
I'm going to check out Travelzoo because I'm addicted to another website. It's called slickdeals.net, and it's a deals site that's all about anything consumer products, whether it's electronics, home goods, clothing, jewelry, if you name it, it can be on there. And it's a forum where people post deals and then they upvote the best deals, kind of like on Reddit, where the best posts get to the top of the page. And then if you need something, you can put an alert in and then it will send you an email like, hey, this is a great deal on something. So
yeah,
there's my rebuttal to that, slickdeals.net and then travelzoo.com. I'll check that out because I'm always looking for good deals. So absolutely. Who doesn't, right? So excellent. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate that. Your story's interesting. I'd love to have you on again. I think there's plenty of more topics that we can talk about, but if you're listening to this and you have some spare time, go over, check out our podcast, Happy Healthy Caregiver, and obviously give us 5 stars, give her 5 stars, subscribe. We don't want your 1 stars. We don't want your 2 stars. If you don't like us, you don't have to listen. But if you could give us those 4 and 5 stars, we'd love it, because I guess that, I don't know how it works, but I think we get like better rankings and more people find out about us. So if you like us,
yes, I welcome it. It's like giving a little tip in our tip jars.
The subscribe button, you know, for both of us. We need it, right? Absolutely, because this is a labor of love. So the more that we can provide, the better it is. So again, thank you so very much. And this is the Caregiver's Toolbox. We will catch you on the next one. Have a good day.